This is 30 Minutes with GSW, a weekly podcast from Benga Samu Wemimo Ministry International. May your hearts receive the engrafted Word of God and your walk deepened with the Holy Spirit as you listen.
There is nothing like absolute freedom.
Look at the way the world we live in today has spiraled the last 20, 30 years.
We realize one thing is sure. Common sense, the right and wrong of things, has been redefined so many times that at the moment it seems all the boundaries, all the bets are off. If they ask you, as I reason, how come that things have changed so quickly? How come it seemed like, oh, in the 80s or in the 70s, things were so different, and now just 30, 40 years, things changed? I will tell you, it is in the quest for mankind to find freedom. We wanted everyone to experience what it means to be free. We wanted those who feel they are in the fringes of society to have a say in the human condition, in the human evolution. And the idea was not really terrible. Let every unheard voice be heard. Let mankind be able to say for once that there is no elite, there are no bourgeois, and then there are no common man, that all men were born equal. It was a beautiful idea. Executing the idea, however, has shown us that human nature, in reality, is different from human nature in theory. On the surface, it is fine. Everybody must have a voice. I will vote for that. If they ask me today, oh, let's vote. Are all men equal? Yes. I believe so, absolutely. Is there any gender that is greater than the other gender? No. I believe that with all my strength. Is there any color or race that is superior to another? No. I will vote for that. Is there any way that you can say, oh, this man is stronger or greater than this man? I will say no. All men are equal. I agree. I will vote for that. So all men do whatever they want? I will say no. And the reason for that is simple. If your freedom is going to infringe on my freedom, it is going to be a problem. As long as everybody plays in their space, your freedom respects my freedom, your belief system respects my belief system, your way of thinking respects my way of thinking, then we should all be able to coexist and everybody can do their thing. You see, it's supposed to be that simple, that all men will live and share this world and everybody would live free in their own rights, not to infringe on the rights of other people. Does that then mean that there are things that you can force me to do against my will? For example, pay tax. Never seen anybody that happily says, I want to pay tax. But all contracts must be run, bills must be paid, so everybody gets to pay tax. So therefore, again, you begin to see that we are free, but freedom must have its boundaries. It means I can't just do whatever I want with my money, then I have to pay my taxes. Should I be free to go anywhere I want? Oh, of course, I should be free to go anywhere I want, but I shouldn't wake up in the morning and decide that I want to come and live in your house without your permission. I shouldn't just walk into your house and say, I'm taking over. No, because that is your space. I should be able to respect my space. You see where I'm going with this? Oh, yeah. Now, some people basically just are wired different from others. And we could decide that, okay, I'm going to coexist. There is nothing wrong in people being a little bit off the block or weird. I always had a theory that as a result of what we eat, what we drink, where we go, our exposure, and all these things that sometimes affect our DNA, and somebody can just give that to a child, and the child will just be weird. And you should love your children equally, so you could also give that chance, that child a chance at life to live to the fullness of his or her life, to fulfill his potential. You should be able to do that. Separate. Society should encourage that. That the right that one has is also the right that the other has. And so we found ourselves evolving into a world led by the Western ideologies, where it seems all the barriers to freedom were removed. People were given the opportunity to be free, to do whatsoever they liked, believing that if we do that, we are going to have a peaceful world, a world in which nobody is oppressed, a world in which everybody got a voice. And suddenly, we realize that freedom can be taken advantage of. Somebody can decide that all he wants to be doing is sleeping with children, underage children, children that couldn't make up their mind for themselves. Children that the person did not give birth to, even if the person gave birth to the children, it would be wrong, but somebody else's child, this person would adopt somebody else's child, molest the child in the name of expressing his or her own freedom. Oh, the person said, oh, this is terrible. This is this. This is that. We'll put them in prison. Let's have a sex offender registration. Let's do this. Then some people said, no, we must advocate for their freedom. They were born this way. They were born this way. It's not their fault. Somebody else says, I like to steal. I'm a kleptomania. I was born this way. Another person says, oh, I like to kill people. I'm a serial killer. I was born this way. If you give this one the right to live his life free, you should also give me the right to live my life free. You should also give me the right to live my life free. And then everybody wants the freedom. They want that freedom to reflect their worldview, their own. It is now not about conforming to a general common ground on which societies are built. It is now the identity is now taken away from the group to the individual. See, so now instead of us looking for a common goal, a common ground for everybody, where 80, 90, 99% of the population can say, okay, this is what we agree on. We are saying no. Freedom has to be down to the taste of each individual. The general people, you just have to take it. And as a result of that, we've let out a lot of things in our world. In order to have that freedom, certain strong institutions was shut down. Religion was the first to go. Because religion does not preach absolute freedom. Christianity, for example, does not preach absolute freedom. I'm saying it emphatically. I preach grace. I've been an advocate of the mystery of the Holy Ghost in the believer. I'm championing the cause of the Holy Ghost for a few years now. I can teach through all the expressions of the scripture that we have a spirit of liberty in Christ that is second to none. However, that spirit of liberty is not absolute. It is still guided by the Spirit. You see the issue? Even though it is called the spirit of liberty, we have the perfect law of liberty. That was how James put it. Perfect law of liberty, which means each individual Christian receives the Holy Spirit, is guided by the Holy Spirit to make decisions as led by God. And what the Lord has told me to do, I don't have to take permission from you to do it. I don't need your get-go. I don't need your approval. I will go ahead and do it. You will go ahead and do it. And we have the liberty of the Spirit in that sense. But even then, as guided by the Spirit, that freedom is not absolute. I still need your permission in order to cross from my own line of freedom into your own lane of freedom. I still need your permission. You'll get to say, oh, okay, I want to marry you. No, there was a time when I was growing up, I met an elderly woman who told me that how she got married was that she was going to the river to fetch water. Suddenly, some people kidnapped her. I'm talking marriage, that it was a culture at the time in their country that young woman and the parents would have, maybe the father and the mother would be at home. They would have informed the father that we are going to marry your daughter. And the mother would say, no, I don't want my daughter to marry that. I want her to go to school. And so the father would have an agreement with the husband's family, and they would find a way, and they would kidnap the girl and take her to husband's house, and that would be her getting married. Only somebody in her family would know, maybe the father would know, but everybody would be looking for her. Later they would say, he has gone to husband's house. How did she go to husband's house? So we have collected that dowry, we have done this. So they came to carry their property, and everybody would be like, what? That was the time all of us would look at that and say, no, this is wrong practice, right? And we evolved away from that over the years. We began to do things properly until we get to this point where absolute freedom is intoxicating the world. The world does not know what to do with freedom. We are abusing freedom every day. We are abusing freedom while claiming to be victims, which is funny. Suddenly, everybody is grasping because freedom is getting the whole world out of control. You open your doors to people to come to your country. You are a Christian nation. You said, oh, we don't want church in politics. So you took church out of politics. You open your door and some people came in and they are non-Christians. And you say, they should practice their faith. They should practice their faith. And they are pushing, and you can do nothing about it. It's funny that you can easily say, keep church out, but you cannot say, keep other religions out, because that would then be discriminatory. What you have done to one, why couldn't you do to all? And so you see the sense of freedom and its problems reverberating all over the world. As a believer living in this time, you must be very careful to raise your children yourself and not allow your children to be raised by society. We are entering into very perilous, because the seed that has been sown across the Western nation and other places, the thing about those seeds is that within a short time, they get to spread. And then before they will change, when it change course, before we will catch on to the changing course, it always takes like sometimes a lag in time of 10 years or 8 years before we self-correct our courses. As parents, you must be very careful in the days to come to raise your children according to the standard and the understanding you have through the word of God, and not allow the society to raise your children for you. Don't be negligent. So this is important. While many of us would focus on money especially those of us who travel abroad, we focus on money. I must work, my wife must work, and we do not keep a second eye on the children to ensure that they are raised properly. Somebody will raise them. Society will raise them. And whatever they are programmed to believe is what they will believe. It is very important that we know this. The human mind is the most programmable entity in the world. All you have to do to program a mind is feed it continuous information day and night. They call it psychops, psychological operation. So you open your TV and you see that the reporter or the newscaster on CNN is saying the same thing in exact same words, as the one on CNBC, MSNBC, as the one on this other, and all of them will be repeating the same line over and over again, and they'll be repeating the same news cycle over and over again. What are they doing? It's called brainwashing. They are systematically programming the mind to keep remembering the same thing over and over and believing it, because they believe that once it is repeated over and over again and you are hearing it over and over again, you will believe it. So sometimes they will sell us a big lie, and everybody will keep parroting the lie, even though they knew it's a lie. They will just come up with a narrative, and then they will then push it into this machine that seems to have this epidemic little effect on people, in which the more you hear the same thing, even if it's a lie, it is expected that you will believe it. I've had a lot of thinking to do in the last 4 years since COVID happened. Even before COVID, I was a bit skeptical about many things. I stopped listening to General News some years ago because I was a journalist. And I remember clearly one day in the newsroom, there was a case in Lagos, Nigeria. Military people had a fracas with police officers, and that led to death and a lot of destruction in Lagos. Our reporters were there, and they covered the news. I was the head of production, and I had done the headline. I titled my headline that day, Jungle Justice in Uniform. That was my headline. Then the director of news came in, saw my headline, and he said, No. Oh, you cannot use that. I said, why? He said, no, that is my decision. It is a good headline, but you cannot use it. That story is ongoing. And they step the story down. And then they led it another story. And I was like, wow, we cannot report the truth. He said, see, there is something called ownership influence. It is only what the people, the powers that be, the signs that people must hear, that we must tell them. We cannot tell the truth. We tell what our owners tell us to tell people. That is how you get paid. You are not getting paid to tell the truth. You are getting paid to repeat whatever the owner of this television station says we should repeat. Did you hear me? There, I said, wow. So when we see the truth, we can't say it. And then he said, oh, go and read your history. Why do you think Awolowo had this own newspaper? Why did you think Baba Kodi had a newspaper? Why did you think almost all the politicians, why did you think Ngadani had his own newspaper? Why did you think this one had their own radio station? There is ownership influence, there is ownership slant. So we only say what our owners want us to say. We are not paid to report the truth. So after that, I lost interest in journalism totally, because I realized it was a cross board. There is no TV station that is telling the truth. I don't want to mention names. All over the world, all of them are biased and slanted. And what do they achieve? They're selling a narrative, brainwashing people to believe whatever they desire. So therefore, they have to sacrifice the truth for freedom. So where there is no truth, what do we have? We have deceit. So deceit is now given freedom, because truth is supposed to be a check on freedom. As long as we know what is true, then our freedom will be true. But if you remove truth from the equation and the arbiters of truth, which is religion, and I deliberately said religion because I didn't just want to say Christianity, all religions have their moral principles that in any effective society, even though it will create hypocrisy, everybody at least would know that, okay, this is what's obtainable, but we can break the law this way. Everybody would know this is the standard, but we are breaking the law this way. That's how it has always worked for all societies. Even in Christian-led societies, there was a lot of hypocrisy. So I didn't want to isolate just Christianity, talking generally now. But now they removed the arbiters of truth. They removed religion, removed God and godly people and godly principles. They put them aside. So now there is no truth by which we can measure human decision. And then you give a human being freedom without truth. What do you expect him to do with that freedom? It's like giving a five-year-old a gun, a loaded gun, and just living in with it and locking the child up and thinking that eventually the child will get it. Of course, eventually the child will get it. He will fiddle with it until eventually he will put a bullet in his own head. And this is the world where we find ourselves living now. This is the world where the truth is on the throne. No. Where the lie is on the throne and the truth is forever on the scaffold. The believer, you must dig deep in the truth of the word of God. Ensure that you are not programmed by the things you hear in this world. When they come lying to you, it is embarrassing for a news station to be saying something. And when I hear born-again Christians or pastors repeating it, I just shake my head. Because it basically just tells me that pastor is a buffoon. A pastor cannot sit down and say, oh, I heard on CNN, or I heard on Channel TV. No pastor should ever, ever repeat whatever you hear a TV station say, ever. It's basically just walking in line with their reprogramming mindset, and it shows you do not have the ability to filter the truth through the Holy Spirit. No minister of God should ever. You listen to them with skepticism, not unless they tell you, oh, there's traffic on this road, that's fine. That is the greatest truth they can tell you, is, oh, there's traffic on this road. Don't even believe them when they tell you why. They don't know why. They'll just tell you there's traffic. Their reason is often not the truth. And so, because the world has so mastered it that the communication that we all have and the way they pass their message, the propaganda is so strong, and it has made the world believe or slant their belief in a certain way, it is deliberately changing the mindset and the worldview of people, which is why we have what we call the woke virus or woke culture. It is the media that has fueled it, and they have fueled it so excellently well, everybody's narrative is changing. As some guys from the US were talking, and they were talking generally. They were just saying, oh, if I have a friend that is this, I say, well, it's okay. As long as it doesn't come near my house, you can do it to other people. I say, no. No, that's not, you guys are Christians. I said, yes. Why are you saying that? I don't know. Why are you like okay with it? You are okay with, as long as you are not the one. No, that's not right. Yeah, you can be. All of us can say, oh, it's a thief. As long as it steals other people's property, that's fine. We know that it cannot help being a thief. So as long as it doesn't steal my property, that's fine. Oh, it's a pedophile. Oh, as long as it doesn't touch my daughter, it can touch other people's daughters or my other people's sons. No, that's not Christianity. Once we have accepted that principle, it means basically we've forgotten what being a Christian is. No. That the Christian world was told to keep quiet so that other cultures can speak. They said, oh, the Christians are so dominant. they are privileged. So they are the ones that are trying to control those sites. No, you must let Buddhists also talk. You must give everybody, like I said at the beginning, freedom. So they said, oh, let everybody speak, but you must keep quiet. No, 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 that's not fair. If they can speak, I should be able to speak too. That then will be more engagement, because I will have to show you my point of view. You will have to show me yours. Then we can reconcile. You see? But if you tell me to keep quiet, because I've been speaking for so long, others must speak. Now they are speaking and it's affecting everything. I have the right also to say, hey, there is a proper way to do things. This is not okay. And the best way Christians speak is not with words, argument. It is one of the reasons why the gospel cannot be stifled if you know how to preach the gospel properly. Because Paul, in the book of Corinthians chapter 7, said that if a woman is married to an unbelieving husband, funny enough, he didn't say she should preach to him. Apostle Paul said, the conduct of this woman, said her behavior, is enough to convert her husband. The first time I read it, I was like, what? Said yes, that if a woman, a Christian woman who is well trained, is living with an unbeliever, no matter the religion, that the conduct of this woman is more than enough to convert her husband. So I began to put it to work. Whenever I see people, I wouldn't even tell them I'm a Christian, I'll heal the sick, I'll talk to them kindly, I'll relate to them well, I'll be kind, I'll be friendly, I'll be polite, I'll be good, generally. And then they would come and meet me, hi, are you a Christian? And then they begin to tell me their issues. And I realized that that principle works still tomorrow. As long as I didn't live with my own personal issues, I didn't have any bias against them, no matter the nationality, I've done this practically in about 7 to 8 countries of the world, where I'll be in a hotel, and before you know it, people will gather around me. And it is not because of anything else. It is because I realized that Apostle Paul had a code cracking understanding of how the gospel should be preached. And this is how we preach our truth. It is not just truth in words. It is also truth indeed. I declare that the wisdom of God is with you, that the words I've spoken to you are seed, and that they are growing in your mind. I declare that everything you've heard or believed that are false, by the power of the Holy Spirit, erase them from your consciousness. I declare you have clarity. You have understanding of what is going on in the world around us, and you're able to walk in it consistently to bring out the best of God in our situation. I declare that you are the harbinger of the truth of God. Save us out of Zion, that the word the Lord has given unto you will be saved through you and by the mighty power of the Holy Spirit at work in you. I declare that your hand will not be empty, that grace is speaking for you. Thank you, Father, for your word is here, and amen. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let somebody shout, glory!
Glory to God. We trust you've been blessed by the Spirit-inspired words. Do come back for more episodes. Also visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com for more inspirational content.